Welcome.
But Barack Obama's connection to the Jewish community runs deeper than you might think. Here are some, I got a few little-known Jewish facts about Barack Obama. His name, Barack, comes from the same root as the Hebrew name, Baruch. In Chicago, and this is something that I actually hadn't known, in Chicago, when he was running for the state Senate, his campaign was supported by Irving Harris, one of the most influential Jewish businessmen in the city. And Obama, at the time, was actually accused of being too close to the Jewish community. Many of his advisors are Jewish, including his two top campaign advisors, David Axelrod and David Plouffe. Just this past week, the Jerusalem Post reported that a group of retired generals of the Israel Defense Forces and high-ranking Mossad officials have officially endorsed Obama. And something many people don't know, and I've spoken to a lot of people this weekend, is that his wife Michelle's first cousin is a rabbi in Chicago. Have people heard of that, or is that new news? Okay. It was in the Forbes. Good. The former congressman of Illinois, Ab Mikva, has gone as far as to say that Barack has a Yiddish neshuma. I hope I pronounced that correctly, but it means a Yiddish soul. The reason so many prominent Jewish leaders support Barack Obama is because he truly embodies the ideals of the Jewish community.
Greetings and welcome to TIU, theinfounderground.com. Today's date is Monday, 12th of January in the year 2009. I'm the host, Ogner, and I'm joined directly by Daryl Bradford Smith. Daryl, how are you doing?
Very well, Ogner. It's great to be back on your program here. It's always a good time talking about the issues with you, my friend.
Listen, I decided not to play a bit of music. I just played that clip from YouTube. We have a Jewish president coming into power in 8 days. At least according to the Chicago Jews, they consider him Jewish. He's been endorsed by Mossad, by all the leading extremists in Israel. What are we to expect, Daryl, in 9 days?
Well, I think it's just more of the same. I mean, everybody has been believing since the election started, and that was before the final count was done. But I mean, during the campaigning, that Barack Obama was going to be changed, and he even used that in his platform that he's changed. The fact is that this is just a continuation of criminal Zionism's agenda. The only change that we're going to see on the surface is that instead of a staggeringly stupid buffoon, we're going to see a slick-mouthed, fast-talking, Jabberwocky guy. He's going to be able to slip and slide and do some shucking and jiving, and he's going to make everybody think, for at least in the beginning, that he's the right man for the job. But everybody's going to discover rather quickly, I believe, that the same forces that put Bush in power and the same forces that kept him in power are behind Barack Obama 100%.
Absolutely. I was looking at a small clip on TV last night. Daryl, was Bush, nice and relaxed Bush, coming to the end of his presidency with one of the Fox guys, I believe. And if you look at any of the speeches Bush gives, especially when he's in a relaxed mode, when he's with his friends over at Talmud Vision, Fox News, anytime he pronounces a word, any word that has more than 8 letters, he puts a smile on his face. Amazing.
What is that? What do you think that is?
He's an idiot, and he's happy.
Well, yes, he is.
He's happy with himself that he got the word actually correct.
I mean, there's probably more truth to that than we know. Look, his whole family is the product of inbreeding. I mean, the guy's an inbred moron, and I mean, you can see his eyes are close together. He's dumber than any. What shocks me, but gives me a new way of thinking about people, is that this guy graduated from Harvard. So what it means is anybody with a big bank account can go to Harvard.
Well, he was supposed to have done his army, and he went AWOL, and they can kill the Zionist media can kill certain stories depending on their selection of candidates.
Yes, that's always been the case, and there are other stories out there that have been well known as well, like he had a love affair with his roommate during college when he was a cheerleader at Yale. There have been many things that have come out based on first-hand reports, first-person reports that came out, his nickname and the rest of it during his Yale years. The guy, you know, his cocaine driving record, he was caught with cocaine, his drunk driving, all the rest of it.
Absolutely.
You know, now, while neither of those two things, you know, should say that a person's competent or not, what they do say to me is that the control that, the people behind Bush have over media is complete. It's 100%. And Obama is the same, cut from the same cloth. He's not going to get any bad press.
I mean, I just don't see absolutely any change. I'm still horrified that even some of the members of my own forum, the Info Underground, that are I think it's more wishful thinking that Barack is going to come in and he's going to change anything. First of all, to get any laws passed, he still has to go through a lobbyist control, a certain cabal that's running the biggest lobbyist groups in Washington, D.C., District of Israel. Nothing is going to change. Anyone is Daryl, I think I'll summarize it this way. I'm put out by certain people that I know that are very, very hopeful for Barack Obama. These people know what happens in Washington, how it works, and there's going to be no change. These people aren't going to let up. Yet people are wasting their time. We're kind of in a little bit of a lull the last month or two since early November. When we got rid of that other Zionist candidate, McCain. I don't even think he was a candidate. I think they just put him up there in case Obama slipped and broke his neck or something.
Yeah, controlled opposition, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I mean, I think people now will realize that that the world is controlled, whether it be your television, the financial system, Darryl, which I want to get into shortly. And we're all, you know, we are changed. And, you know, this change and we are changed, it sounds familiar, Darryl.
Well, you know, that's the mantra that they always pick up on, and of course, because everybody is so desperate for change that anybody who can wave that banner with any kind of chutzpah, and using a sick Jewish term, sorry to say, but that's exactly it's the right term to use, because the way they approach this stuff is with bold-faced lies. They know darn well that the things they're going to do and the things they're saying don't match up. So what they have to do is be liars, and that's what chutzpah is. Chutzpah is a Jew, a Zionist, standing in front of a crowd, knowing he's going to murder half of them, and smile at them and say, follow me, and we're going to go have ice cream. And that is called chutzpah in my book, and that's exactly what Barack Obama has and the people around him, because he knows darn well he's leading America and the rest of the world off of a cliff, and at the same time, he's standing in front of everybody saying how wonderful it will be once I can get control of these problems.
Oh, yeah, and Daryl, do we have some problems? I mean, as I said, we've been in a bit of a lull. The financial situation, these international Jewish bankers have lent and created amongst themselves trillions and trillions of dollars. We don't even know. We have a new law passed in the UK, which is quite worrying. Darryl, I'm reading from, I'm coming from an article in the Telegraph. These new reform plans of in the UK is basically introducing more banking secrecy. Now, countries have been after Switzerland and Liechtenstein and the different offshore banking systems for the last 20 years to get rid of the banking secrets. Now I'm seeing a massive return to banks need to have secrets. So I'm reading one here from the Telegraph. Reform plan raises fear of bank secrecy. So basically we have a situation in the UK where the British Central Bank, with a king, a Zionist Jew, running the British Central Bank, are now going to print money and not report it to anybody and not tell anybody, and you'll get arrested if you tell anybody.
Well, that's been, you know, the case in America has been that nobody knew how much they were printing, because the way to measure that in the past was by looking at an aggregate figure, meaning a collected figure that you could add everything together.
Yeah.
Well, that's the M3, and M3 was gotten rid of some time ago. I think it's like 5 or 6 years now. That was a clear signal to anybody with any brains or any knowledge in finance that they were going to stop pumping the printing presses up full force. Now, Britain's going to do the same. We're looking at runaway inflation by a year end. By next year, in December, we should be seeing massive price rises in almost every area of life. It takes time to come through the system, the amount of printing they're doing, but it will finally come home to roost. One of the things that they have done is taken the money from the real economy, destroyed the real economy, took the money, and went out into the world and bought every asset they could possibly need to control the world. They've bought all of the raw materials. They've bought all of the infrastructure systems. They're buying road systems. They're buying trash pickup and water control and everything, electric grids. France Telecom is owned by them. We've got Electricité de France going into their hands. And E.ON, another electric company bought by them. We've got, all the banks, Santander Bank and BNP Paribas and, of course, Goldman Sachs being behind a lot of these join-ups. What my point here is that they took real economy money that belonged to the public from your pension funds, they took it from you through inflation, and they used that real money from the real economy to buy systems that would be in their hands when the new money system is born. So you will be paying your money directly to things they own. It doesn't matter to them that the money system's failing because they own the infrastructure that forces you to pay for every good and service that you need in the future. And that was the goal from the start. See, money is not power in itself. It's what it can buy is the power. And they've already bought everything worth having.
Absolutely. I'd like to tie in this, especially in the case of the United States. One of the issues that have come up, but they've put it put it under the carpet, is credit card debt. And I was reading an interesting article in the New York Times, it was actually from 1st of January, where you have most of the major credit card companies have an office on campus along with Mossad and the ADL and the other people that we need to be guided by, and it's very interesting that people, the students that sign up in America, for probably all over the world, that sign up for these so-called cheap credit cards at the beginning, every time they take out these credit cards, the universities and colleges are getting millions and millions of dollars. On aggregate.
Yeah. Well, they get it from other corporations, too, like Coca-Cola putting their machines.
There you go.
They let Taco Bell open up a place in one of their buildings. And, this has been going on since the mid-1980s. What happened was that education itself became a commercial entity, and see, they still get trust status. This is the interesting thing. A lot of the university, I'll give you an example, the university I went to, New York University, when I was in school there, they didn't have a Coke machine or a Pepsi machine on every corner. They did not have McDonald's all over the campus in campus buildings. And the fact of the matter is the money that was flowing into the school came from tuition and came from people who donated. Today, the place has become a commercial enterprise where there's Taco Bell and Pizza Hut and Coca-Cola machines everywhere. And what they've done is they've commercialized, sold out the status of the school to make money. But here's the thing. They pay no taxes, Noel. They pay no taxes to the public purse. They don't help finance anything in the society. And, in fact, what they are is big representatives for corporations.
I'm just worried, Darryl. I'm just reading there. It's out there this evening. Obama's team come in and they need this bailout money. What are the chances that the international Jewish bankers will say, "Well, no, we're not going to give it to Congress"? The question.
Well, they're going to give something. I'm sure they're going to give something. But here's the other thing. And when you come up with figures today, it's ridiculous. For $350 billion, $500 billion, a trillion, a $2 trillion deficit, la la la. It's all relative. Relative to what? Relative to the amount of money they've printed and the amount of real value it's based upon. The fact of the matter is if they keep printing money like they're going to, you're going to have to pay $500 for a loaf of bread. So how valuable is a dollar then? You know, this bailout is just a Band-Aid on a severed limb. There's no way a $350 billion stimulus package can do anything in a depression. It might prop up some of the more draconian programs they want to get on out there, like indoctrinating youth or snitch squads or, you know, helping enlarge police departments so they can be more draconian with their public. These are the kinds of things I would expect them to spend the money on. Very little of it will ever trickle down to the people who need it most, in my view.
Well, you know, just breaking there, Daryl, this evening, in the last half an hour, a New York judge is allowing Madoff to stay out on bail, even after he sent $1 million in jewelry to his family at Christmas.
Oh, yeah. And you know, where is he staying? You think he's staying in a homeless shelter?
Yeah.
Or is he staying up on Fifth Avenue in one of his penthouses?
Yeah, a $7 million apartment. I mean, there's certain rules for the chosen people and the other rules for the rest of us.
Well, that, you know, the deal that was cut with him was cut before he went public. I'm sure of that. You know, now exactly what, I'm not privy to exactly what the deal was, but I can certainly read the tea leaves. And again, because they immediately fast-tracked the claims department for people who supposedly lost money in the Ponzi scheme, if you'll believe that, and I don't, I simply don't. Because they came out so quickly, within days, saying that probably people who got who lost their money can ask for it back at taxpayer expense,
yeah,
meant that they had this thing all figured out in the first instance. And here's the other thing. Just by some odd coincidence, all of the records that would be necessary to prove that he lost the money in a hedge fund have mysteriously disappeared. So basically, we only have Madoff to say, oh, well, yes, I was the crook and I really stole all this money. You know, it's kind of like this guy. You remember Robert Maxwell, the guy supposedly died on his yacht, the big rich Jewish Zionist?
Yep, and Mossad agent.
Yeah, well, guess what? They never found his body, and many people believe he's walking the streets of Israel right now.
Very, very possibly. Apparently, Daryl, he was on the back of his boat because he got lost at sea, and he was on the back of, you know, the metal at the back with his feet dangling in the water. You know the back of the boat, and he had an Irish prostitute with him. I don't know if you've heard this one before, and he apparently said, "Oh my darling," he said, "toss me off," and she did, and then we never found his body. a bit of humor, Daryl. I'm outraged, Daryl. I'm outraged.
Well, you know, but it's the same story, and it's just repeated. And the fact of the matter is, we can never ever rely on anybody but ourselves in this to get to the truth. The mainstream is never going to investigate any of this. The truth is never going to be known if you rely on television, radio, or anything else. And here's the problem, too. They are spending a lot of money and a lot of resources at trying to clog up our truth-telling. And how they do it, and let me tell you something about the amount of new news that keeps coming out about this conspiracy. One of the things that everybody seems to think we need to do here is to keep pounding away at new information. The amount of information that we've dug up so far is so unbelievably damning that we have enough to go to any courtroom in the world, if it was a legitimate courtroom, and convict any one of these people for any number of crimes. The fact of the matter is as we keep adding layers and layers of new criminality to it, we end up just confusing newcomers, and I'll tell you how that works.
Yep.
You know, somebody that tries to figure out this conspiracy, and they say, well, what are you talking about today? And I say, well, we're talking about Madoff. Well, there's about 60 other previous conspiracies we've already proven. For somebody to come up to speed, it'd take them about 5 years, like it did for us. What we need to start doing is saying, look, here are the things that are absolutely 100% sure. Take a look at them. We've got them proven. These are the people involved. They're Zionist Jews. They're Judeo-Nazis. Yes. And what we need to do now is to spread the word. And we've got to start keeping it simple, because what they want more than anything, Noel, is to confuse the new coming public. And they already know most people are too stupid to tie their shoes. So basically, when anything looks complicated, people turn away from it. What we've got to do is boil down the essence of this and start delivering it so that people that are new to this information can absorb it. Now, that doesn't mean to be a sector of people doing new research. We always need new research.
Absolutely.
But if our goal is to defeat these criminals, we need more bodies. We need warm bodies to fight with us. And in order to do that, I think we have to simplify some of this stuff and boil it down. Now, I want to move to a subject that I put up on my website, and I read an article that you had pointed me to with this guy, Alan Watt. Now, why I'm bringing him up, he's the noise I'm trying to tell everybody we need to get rid of. He is the static out there that is confusing people arriving at this truth. He's the guy out there trying to throw a net over the people who are trying to become active. Him and Jordan Maxwell and Ralph Schoenman and this guy Tassan, they're all well-trained deception specialists. Some of them seem like they have neuro-linguistic training, but each and every one of them have the same playbook. And it is not to get the bad guys, but it is to throw in a bunch of new nonsense,
yep,
to confuse everybody and hive off a bunch of people. It's the same as this guy Phelps was doing with the Vatican.
Yep.
What we need to do is marginalize these crooks, these liars, these sacks of goo, and move past them with the truth. In a more deliberate manner.
Well, Daryl, I mean, over there at RBN, I mean, there's a lot of suspicious characters. We have at least teams on our side. Adams and Piper seem to be knocking the stuff out regularly. I don't think I wouldn't question either of them. You know, we might have personal problems with them over the years, but I mean, as the years go by, these two gentlemen have been pumping out the information. But RBN is very suspect.
Oh, yeah, the whole organization, in my view, is an operation by an intelligence organization, and I believe it could, in fact, be the CIA, or it could be the FBI, or it could be Mossad itself, or another one of the majors, even MI6, if they had the funding, or a combination thereof. But they are certainly not a legitimate truth-telling organization. You know that during this whole Gaza incursion, for the first 8 or 9 days of this thing, and this, you know, this is coming up to the day 13. I think, or 14th,
16,
RBN put absolutely nothing about what was happening in Israel and happening to the Gazans, and that was not a mistake. It was done by design. Alex Jones, exactly the same. They were both told, I'm sure, behind the scenes to not put anything out about this. Don't stir up the troops against this incursion, and neither of them have. What Alex Jones has come out and done is done cover for them, trying to downplay the importance of Gaza and downplay the importance of Zionism, but he's always done that. That is his role, his job. The man is a consummate liar and a charlatan, and he's the best at it in the business, and he's been at it now for years and years, but the facts and the truth never seem to leak out of his lips. And it's just a clear-cut case of this guy is an operative and has been from the beginning. And all you poor saps out there who follow this guy, you need to get your head fixed on straight, because the facts of the matter are that the guy's an operative, has been from the beginning, and he's a lying sack. Now, that doesn't mean, Noel, that he doesn't say a lot of truth.
Mm-hmm.
He tells you every truth in the book except the one that matters. Who's doing it to us?
Absolutely, no, absolutely true, Daryl. I just want to quote something here. There's a guy born on the 30th of October, 1885, and he died on the 1st of November, 1972. And people should do a little bit of research on this guy. He's a mentor of Eustace Mullins. His name was Ezra Pound. He was a poet.
Oh boy, yes. I know all about Ezra Pound. Some of the greatest research research ever done on this criminal conspiracy was done by Ezra.
There you go, Daryl. And this is exactly what I wanted to get into, and which is what you stated about, you know, there's a lot of new information coming out on a daily basis. It's true. But this guy, they locked him in prison about 60 years ago, locked, or a bit more, for 13 years. They said he was a mental case and he had to be locked up, and with the help of Eustace Mullins, they got him out. But this guy actually was working on a solution. He was the guy doing a lot of research into the Byzantine Empire, which survived without under Talmudic Jewish control for 12 centuries. Simple rules, no Talmudic Jews in education, finance, and what am I missing here? And politics, of course. And the empire, you know, lasted 1,200 years. Now, I came across Eustace Mullins, probably, Daryl, through an interview with you, or you know, you've done several interviews with Eustace. I've spoken to him once on the telephone, which was quite funny. This guy, Ezra Pound, was actually, I think, is one of these people that has been mentioned over the years, and we need a lot more research on this guy, because this guy was not just working on naming just the criminals, he was working on solutions to getting rid of this Talmudic conspiracy against us.
Well, you know, Ezra Pound was a real Renaissance man. Today, almost nobody can claim that title, but he was, you know, he was a writer and a thespian, and of course, he was involved in truth-telling about the conspiracy. He, you know, he involved himself in freedom fighting and invention. The guy did all kinds of stuff. He was a brilliant guy. And you know, again, you were right, exactly right. They did jail him for it, but he was not alone in that group, you know. They did the same to the Eton School graduate, Sandhurst graduate, Archibald Maule Ramsey was put in a mental asylum for his dissension against the Zionist criminality. And if this could happen again, I mean, you know, they're starting to pass new laws in America where they're going to scoop you up and put you away. It might be a mental institution. They'll drug you with some kind of new drug or whatever. But the fact is, Ezra's work was handed over to Eustace Mullins, and most of his information that he put out on the Federal Reserve and the rest of it came from Ezra Pound's research. And the library of Ezra Pound is one of the great ones in the world, and I believe it has been lost to us. As soon as Eustace was put into a nursing home, somebody absconded with the documentation that Ezra had. Gone, I believe.
Hopefully it'll resurface, Darren.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't hold my breath, but because that certainly was a target. The library of Ezra Pound was certainly a target of these criminals, because a lot of the books and literature that Ezra had are out of print. And, you know, I've had a heck of a time trying to find books and stuff to put up on the site. In fact, I've done so well with so many of these books that I didn't even know how many I had on there. I told you a little story where I tried to get one of them put on the site, and the webmaster said, "You've already got it up there." And I said, "Oh, my." You know, but I mean, when you got eight gigabytes of information on the website, you can lose track of what you got up there.
Yeah, you got a lot. It's a pretty big site. Let's mention it there. Daryl Bradford Smith from IamTheWitness.com. You have some very rare out of print books, some 800-900 hours of audio dealing with the Talmudic Zionist Jewish conspiracy. There are some video clips as well there, Daryl. I think a few, you know, get with the times there with the old YouTubes there and different things that are on the site. But it's a wealth of information, and it will stand the test of time. And I'd encourage people actually to download the entire site and spread it around, whether it be on BitTorrent or, you know, whatever. Share the audio files. You know, you might have a personal difference with Daryl on some issue or not, but the guests that have been on are a wealth of information, and go and check out some of the facts. Daryl, I mean, I've seen the list of people that you've had on your shows is amazing. Going back now, you have, I mean, there's a couple of you, Piper and Adams have had some good guests on. You've tended to do less shows, but have more quality rather than quantity. Although you have been hammering out the shows in the last year, which is always good, but people need to go and check it out. IamTheWitness.com. Just listen to the audio. If you don't believe the audio, go check it out and say, well, send Daryl an email, Smith@IamTheWitness.com, and say, Daryl, you said, oh no, I better not say that, Daryl, to get you for everything. Or your, one of your guests, Pidcock, said this, and we won't get into that interview. But,
I don't know what these people are going to say in the first instance. And sometimes, you know, here's one of the other things I have to admit to here. Everybody that comes on the program, I'm assuming that they're there to add value to what I've already done. But what I'm beginning to discover is that there are very few people around who have spent the time to really know this subject as in depth as I have, and they make mistakes about stuff because they really maybe not know as much. Now, I'm not making an excuse for what Pidcock did or didn't say, because frankly, you know, I think some of the things he said were I could prove in a second that weren't true. But at the same time, there are some people, and I'll give you an example, the Bishop of Jerusalem. He assumed he knew more than me when he got on the radio show, and I tried to guide him into some new knowledge, and his presentation style would have none of it. He wouldn't allow me to show him a couple of new facts that he could maybe learn something from, and instead he just kept battling on over top of me, not listening at all about some of the facts that we've discovered. And but that's not a unique thing, Noel. That happens a lot. Does that mean the bishop isn't truly involved in truth telling? No, that doesn't mean that. No. What it means is that he needs the French Connections education as much as some other people do. You know.
Yeah, and you know it's a question of, I think it's important we bring up people like Alan Watt. It goes into this mumbo jumbo New Age, I have to give thumbs up there to Andre from the Outlaw Forum, who did this little bit of research. Now, Daryl, I told you privately that I joined that forum, the outlawjournalism.com forum, last year. Someone said go over and have a look, so I checked it out and I signed up. And when I went over there, it was a love fest for Alan Watt. I nearly puked. I mean, Alan Watt a year ago, even a year ago, was enough to turn me off. But the forum has changed around. I showed up on the site. I'm not saying it was me, but I posted a few links, a few audios, a few of yours, a few of mine, some different articles, and the people started picking up. Plus, you have from the protocols of 1890 or from 1905. Jews, will have to die for the greater Zionism. And what's happened in the last year, the financial problems, this genocide in Palestine, that a lot of people are looking into the Jewish question, and they are starting to wake up to, basically, the bottom line is a particular very small group of, unless someone's going to correct me, Jewish bankers controlled the world. Oppenheimer, Rothschild, you know, the Warburgs, and all these people that have started all the wars. And the forum actually started to wake up. Now, they did some very, very good research outing this Jewish fake preacher, Eric John Phelps, married to a Jewess. His best friend is Barry Chamish. He loves to hang out in Israel. He's been there, I don't know many times. He sells blood diamonds from Israel. Diamonds actually coming from Africa in these war zones. If you ever look at some of the big troubled spots in Africa, you'll often find a wealth of gold and different minerals are in South Africa. Look at South Africa now, 10 or 12 years after the natives have taken back from the Zionist white government that was put in power there, and it's a place of a bloody mess.
Well, here's the thing about when you've become enamored by a particular presenter, the fact is that Watt has one of the slickest presentations I've ever heard, and it has something to do with the metering of his presentation, and then the esoteric quality of his information. In other words, much of it can't be verified. Much of it seems like, you know, the Belutians came down the mountainside and found their way to floppy disk and you know, and la la la. And all of a sudden you're going, wow, floppy disk, the Belutians, wow. And all of a sudden, by the end of what he's presenting, you're going, wow, he told a complete story. But, you know, so did the J.R.R. Tolkien tell a complete story.
Absolutely.
But it was a fabrication. The guy is a nonsense spinner. He does it with a great deal of presentation skills. I mean, it sounds like he's been to a school for it. And then to protect himself from anybody discussing anything else on his programming, he has urged people not to look into the stuff and not to listen to other people. Now, I do quite the opposite. I say, look, if you have a question about my research here, bring it up, and if you've got some evidence, I'll read it. Now,
yep.
It doesn't mean I'll agree with you, but I'll read your position. And I have made probably hundreds of personal shifts in my understanding of facts on the ground, and then voiced them on air many, many times because, frankly, this is a process of learning for everyone, including me, the presenter, and the story is becoming clearer as time goes on. But this guy doesn't. This guy tells the fairy tales, and in what I'm gathering now, he actually stole them.
Well, you know, this guy, Daryl, let's be honest, he made death threats against Andre, and he threatened legal action against some of his fans. One of his fans opened up a site called AlanWattFans.com, and within 2 days, Watts was up on a show on RBN, and he was threatening him that if, you know, whatever, he'd send his friends to see him, and he also said that he had Google Maps, satellite imagery of where these people lived.
Ah, yeah.
So no, there's a lot. It was a pretty good article by.
No, you would have to let's make a little analysis of that. How, first of all, would he come up with someone's address? And secondly, you know, to go as far as to be able to pinpoint who someone is and then where they live requires a bit of a network of people. Now, I you know, that you can get that other ways by someone's telling on you. I mean, whatever. But I don't know. It sounds very suspicious.
Well, you know, it's very suspicious when you go on his website and there's 10 donate buttons. Donate, 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 donate. It's all over his bloody site. I had a quick look at it. Hocus pocus, mumbo jumbo, nonsense. I think you nailed it, Darwin. You said none of this stuff you can prove. He just gives you some food for thought, but he's not dealing with current issues or any issues in the last 2,000 years.
Right. Well, here's what I'm thinking. You know, him and Maxwell, of course, it might be no surprise to the listening public here that he ended up doing a regular visit on Alex Jones, talking about the Bonuvians again and the you know, all of the floppy disk group and all that. You know, I mean, he's doing that now on Alex Jones' program.
But that's smart, Daryl. From the way I'm reading it, it's a smart move by Alex. He does 5 shows a week and he can fill them up with crap that he doesn't have to talk about what's the real issues of the controlling cabal. And, you know, he puts on people and says, "Oh, Alex, that guy is interesting. Let's check him out next month." And, you know, not talk about the real, real issues and the names behind it.
Well, here we are in our death throes right now. We really need to get people to just pass by this cretin and go, you know, head on and take on these Judeo-Nazis in a major way. And you said it to me last night, Noel, when we were talking. Look, we've been handed an opportunity on a silver platter here. We've got to make hay while the sun shines.
Yep.
And right now, these people are giving us an opportunity to spread this far and wide. And let me give everybody a little quality good news here. I'm at my local little store over here. It's a little grocery store about 6-8 kilometers from my house. I walk in, and 3 of the people inside are talking about what Israel is doing to the Palestinians.
Yeah.
Now, I could never walk into a place and hear that without putting my 10 cents in. So I opened up the faucets and told these people the whole story. And I went down all the French politicians who are from the Jewish religion. And listen, it was almost every one of them, because it is almost every one of them. And then I said, and now let's go through the media. And I went through that list. Then I said, now let's go through the banking. And I went through that list. And then I said, now let's go through the businesses, L'Oreal and Lagardère and all. I went down the list. And then I said to them, they're only 1% of the French population, and they own all these things and control all this stuff. And then I turned around and walked out and didn't wait for their response. Now, probably all three of them have a lump in their pants now from crapping themselves. But the fact of the matter is, once they got their brain wrapped around some of the stuff I said, they're going to go home and go, holy smokes, we're in trouble.
Yeah. Darl, you know, as it's true, I did say it to you, I've been saying it to you, you know, we have a momentous moment to increase our numbers, get more people awake. And I mean, there are people, I'm talking about people reading the alternative medias, and you need to keep away from the Alan Watson and the Alex Jones, and, you know, move away from them. And look at what's, well, I'd rather look forward, Darl. Let's talk finance, Darl, and I want to talk about Jews and computers and software, if I might, and let's start it. We have the two biggest companies, computer companies in the world, are owned by Jews. They are Google and Microsoft. So people say Microsoft aren't owned by Jews. I'd have to question. Bill Gates is Jewish. He comes from a Jewish background. His mom is Jewish. We now have the acting CEO as Gates got into philanthropy. Steve Ballmer, he's Jewish. We have the Google, which is founded by a Russian and American Jew, financed by the CIA and Mossad. They're building their new headquarters in Israel. And it was interesting to see a Microsoft meeting last week, and people asked Ballmer, what are you guys working on? And he said, Google, the economy and Google. We have a problem here, Darren. I know you're not the most computer literate person in the world, but I'll give you, when I saw my first computer, which was 20 odd years ago, a computer at that time cost about 6,000 Swiss francs, which is about, you know, $5,000 for a PC. That PC now is down to 500 francs or $500.
Yeah, and it's also 2,000 times more powerful.
Oh, it's a lot more than 2,000 times. We're now moving into an online age. People are turning off the TV. The young people aren't watching TV, which is good to know, but they're moving straight on to Jewish-controlled YouTube and all their affiliated channels, and they have lots of them. And we're going to have such a struggle moving forward. And we have the Mossad influence, Google flexing its muscle, and Microsoft are running for cover. They might have $50 billion in cash. I think they have $54 billion in cash. But they cannot, in my opinion, they can't go into battle with these Mossad-sponsored New World Order Jews.
No, but see, let me say one thing here. How we defeat Google and the likes of Google, YouTube and Google Video and the rest, is don't use them, and I don't. I don't answer emails from people using Google. I don't want people using Google in my website. You have it on my search engine. What we need to do is put up on the top of the website that Google is a Mossad operation and should be avoided at all costs. And we should say YouTube should be an alternative for YouTube should be found. Maybe we can get the listeners to put in 10 grand and we can open up our own YouTube on our own servers. I don't know, but I don't use them. I use a search engine that has nothing to do with Google.
Yeah, no, there's even, you can even use Scroogle, which cuts out all the spying. And people should remember that Google spy on you with their little cookies and that lasts until 2037.
But put a link on the top of your website, at Information Underground, how to get to Scroogle for people. And maybe, you know, I'll do the same thing on top of mine, and we'll explain to people, look, we've got to bypass these crooks.
Well, you know, it's Darryl, we still have to go into the trenches and yank out from their sleep, you know, as a kind of a Neo and the Matrix scenario, and wake people up to this truth. And we need to go in, you know, whether it be, they tried MySpace, you know, they might have a couple of 100 million, but no one talks about MySpace. I don't hear MySpace, and everything now is Facebook. These are all Mossad CIA operation, data gathering centers of what they are. Everything you write, Google Mail, you know, I use an account, ogner2@gmail.com. Send me your hate mail, I'll just spam it straight away. And one of the conditions is when you sign up for Gmail is that Google remain the owners, Google, you know, insert the name behind Google, remain the owners of all the information that goes over their data lines. So people should be well aware of, you know, Google, Yahoo, there's no difference, Microsoft, there's no difference. Anything that goes over on the internet is recorded.
Well, it is, but I don't think we should give them any additional help, and I think we should start informing the world that, like PayPal, of course, you know, that's another Zionist-controlled organization by Jeff Bezos over there, and the fact is they've shut me down, I'll give you another example of Google. You do my name in quotes, you get 16,000 hits for Darryl Bradford Smith. You do it on Yahoo, you get 170,000.
Well, you know, Google, I have to agree with you. They definitely have a board of sponsors similar to the Wikipedia Jews, which I didn't know that until Andre told me in the interview. Apparently on the internet they're called the Wikipedia Jews, and if you post certain things you get removed.
That's right.
Which isn't, you know, another, it definitely isn't another valid source of information.
Well, they've put me up on, people have nominated me for Wikipedia on 6 occasions, and in all 6, they got rid of it.
Well, as I said, they do have their little board that have orders or take orders. But I was just reading a story there, Darryl, from a few days ago. Google search finds missing child. It was a report on the BBC News. And the reason I brought up the computer aspect is possible that Microsoft will get taken out by Google. There seem to be, you know, Google that doesn't make any money except from their advertisement, and they do make money, I'll admit it, but Microsoft have $54 billion in cash. I'm not talking about real estate and other stocks, because he owned a lot of other companies, you know, part of different electronic companies, and they owned a lot of, you know, have shares in a lot of companies. But their biggest worry is Mossad Google, the Mossad run Google, that record everything, because they know they can't beat them. And it's a worrying sign for me, Darryl, to see a company that has $54 million in cash. All their shareholders are millionaires, or all their staff are millionaires, and the only thing they're worrying about is Mossad-run Google, and not even worrying about their, you know, their own products have been terrible. Visa, another terrible product.
Well, you know, I got to say that a part of this whole thing is going to all hinge upon our ability to take our world back. And in fact, if we are unsuccessful at dislodging this criminal group from our lives, Google will be in our lives, and that's the bottom line. And if any of you out there think that it's going to be otherwise, you're really missing the mark here, because if we don't defeat these criminals and out them worldwide and start a backlash against them and frog march these SOBs into prison and get rid of these people from our lives, then Google is going to be the standard, and we are going to be controlled, and some of us, including me, will probably end up in a pit somewhere, buried under earth, and that'll be the end of the story. But see, we have a a chance here, and they're handing it to us right as
right
we
now,
speak.
Right now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right now, yep.
Well, you know, Darrell, you know, I've said it to you, I'm more pessimistic. I don't think we can stop these people, but it's just my... And then you work up from that. That's the way I work in life. Think of the worst case scenario and work up. We have a momentous opportunity now. It's interesting to see some of the forums getting together, and some people never heard of other forums and blog sites, and we're all dealing with this Zionist issue, world control, the Zog, wherever it may be. People are looking into the ADL as extremists, which they are. We have some very interesting, talented, Darrell, younger folk coming up that are well able to make these little audios and YouTube clips to help us out. And I put out a call to these people. We need help, as much help as we can, and we need it now.
But you know, one of the terms I would like people to start using regularly on their posts is the term Judeo-Nazis, and I'll say why. First of all, the term Nazi it strikes a chord with people. It has been inculcated into their thinking. But the simple fact is, people don't understand that Nazism has roots in Judaism. And what we need to do is we need to make the link between Judaism and Nazism, marry them together, and put that into the nomenclature, and put that into the new way of speaking. I mean, because people need to say, look, these people are Judeo-Nazis, and they are murdering people in the Gaza concentration camp. And the fact is, their own brainwashing that they've done over the public for the last 50, 60 years will come back and bite them in the rear end, because we'll be using what they've already done. We'll be using their work to pull them apart. And so I'm urging people to pick up the term Judeo-Nazi.
Absolutely.
Because it's a factual statement in the first instance, but on the second instance, it is something that people already have internalized as being a very negative thing, and we can use their own work they've done against them.
Darrell, listen, we you know, time is running out here. Financial meltdown on the way.
Yep.
And it's quite amazing to me, and I was outraged. I had lunch today with an American buddy and a French buddy of mine today. We went into a
kebab?
Yeah, a kebab place, but not, they weren't Turkish, they were Kurds. It was a Kurdish-run place, and we had a little chat, and the two guys were talking about some stupid Hollywood movie that they'd both seen and whatever, and I said, okay, I'll wait. I said to the French guy, I said, Mark, you called me 6 months ago, you called me an extremist, because I told you Israel was brutal. I said, what do you have to say about what's going on? And there is nothing to be said. Now, I woke up this morning, Darrell, as you know, I'm an early riser. I usually set my clock for 6 a.m., and I usually listen to the Brown Broadcasting Corporation, formerly known as the Blair Broadcasting Corporation, on Swiss Radio, Swiss Radio International in English, and they had a poll. So, you know, I'm listening to it. I was awake before the thing. Wake up a couple of minutes before the show comes on. And they said, they were talking about Switzerland. It's English news, but based for Switzerland. And they said, there was a recent poll in Switzerland that 53% of the Swiss accepted that Israel needed to do what they had to do because of the firecrackers being fired in from Palestine. And I jumped out of the bed, Darrell. I usually stay up until, you know, I listen to it until about 6:20. I jumped straight up out of bed and I said, that's it. Went straight up and see if I could get a source. No source. They made that up out of thin air, just like money.
Well, that's a fact, and they, you know what they did here in France? Nicolas Sarkozy's handling of this Gaza catastrophe has a 47% approval rate. And they didn't say 53% of the French are against him. They said 47% are with him. And it has a lot to do with presentation here, Noel. You know it as well as I do. But I don't think those numbers are correct. Look at the people coming out in the streets, man. I told you, on my local store, the three people standing in there talking about it. It's on everybody's lips. And everybody knows that this crisis is being controlled by Jews and Zionists and Judeo-Nazis, if you will. And the fact of the matter is that you're exactly right. They are making stuff up wholesale here on the mainstream media. I you know, I've got a father-in-law who's got a lifetime of indoctrination on television, and all of the work I could do for the rest of his living days would never change his mind. He is way too far into the fog bank to ever come out. He just will never, ever see the light of day. The guy is a no-mind.
A lost soul.
A lost soul. Well, absolutely.
Listen, people, say, they don't really control everything. Most people in America would remember from recent times this particular guy called Joe the Plumber.
Yeah.
This idiot is out today saying, well, we know all about wars. We shouldn't be reporting. No journalist should be reporting from the Holocaust in Palestine. He said, we don't need that anymore on TV. I think that says a lot.
Yeah, especially since they promoted him as somebody, didn't they? John McCain did. Guy who gets all his money from the Brothman fortune,
I think we call him Joe Sixpack, because they usually refer to us as Joe Sixpack, and he's Joe the Plumber. So I think he will, eventually get graded up to Joe Sixpack, and he's supposed to be our spokesman or something.
Yeah, well, they're going to come out with every single deception you can think of, and... The more people come to the facts, the less people are going to listen to people like Alex Jones. One of the things, the reasons why I keep after Alex Jones over and over again is he carries a very big audience of people who are really interested in fighting for the truth. The simple problem is they don't know the truth. So I need to keep pounding away at this guy as a liar so that people can actually discover the facts. And a lot of people that came to this came through him. They just knew something wasn't right in his story, and as they went along, they finally abandoned this guy because he was a lying sack of goo. But we've got hundreds of thousands of people he's leading around that we need. We need these people.
These are the
warm bodies that are going to take this to the streets with us. And boy, I'll tell you something. Coming out wholesale against the Alan Watts and the Alex Joneses of the world is going to put those people in our camp. Bombard them with the facts, Noel. That's what we got to do.
And we need these people now. They gave you a taste of what's to come in September when people actually got up out of bed at 3 a.m. to get up and showered and had their little breakfast at 3 a.m. and were at 5 a.m. outside a particular bank in Newcastle in northern England. Run on the bank. The first time in 150 years. They're scared to be Jesus out of us, as they say, for 2 months. We're in a lull. It's going to come back, Darryl. This financial thing, this fractional reserve banking... I don't know what the cure for it is, and I don't want to say gold is. I think gold is, I have a little bit of gold just in case I can buy some staple foods when
that is exactly what it's good for. That and silver are good for emergency purchasing during very difficult times, Noel. I wouldn't go and rebuild our financial system on the back of gold.
It's run by the same people.
It would be. Yeah, and if they don't hold it all in the first instance, they would in a generation. So the simple truth is that we don't want to go with gold again. What we want to do, and I would like to bring this up. We want to disassemble Europe, and we talked a little bit last night with another person, a third party, together on a three-way call about getting people to start understanding that the European Union is a terrible idea, stealing sovereignty and stealing freedom from people. Its financial system is enslaving people, and the fact of the matter is we have a couple of opportunities coming up with that as well back in your home country of Ireland.
Yeah,
so there are a lot of places that we can put our efforts, and that's one more of them, and it has a lot to do with finance and the ECB.
Well, I put out a call there for people as supporters of the Irish people that we're going to have in about 11 months' time, 10 months' time, a second vote on Lisbon 2. They're going to try sweeten it up a little bit, and the Irish people are going to be fooled hook, line, and sinker into it. I'm going to do my very, very best, Darryl, and I know you'll help me out there, and we need to.
I will.
We were talking to an Irish buddy of ours, an administrator. administrator from the infounderground.com, Sullivan, also an administrator on Wake Up From Your Slumber, one of our sites, one of our blog sites that we both like. And you know, we're putting the call out. We have to be smart about this. These people have the money, we don't. We have some know-how and some knowledge, and we have
the truth on our side. No,
but the truth can still put you in prison for 5 years. We've been told the truth doesn't matter, it doesn't count in a court of law. We need to get a ground swell, a movement among the people. I mean, I'll talk to my local family. I'll be in Ireland before the vote, that's for sure, and talk to some people. But the thing is, with the Talmud vision television over the centuries, since the 60s, 1963 in Ireland, people are just so, they hear government politicians, they think automatically corruption, and are turned off by it. And you know, the government will send out another, you know, 15 or 13 page leaflet explaining why Lisbon 2, you know, is better than Lisbon 1, and we're in trouble. If Ireland accepts this, we're in real trouble.
And in fact, if it's rejected, Noel, there's a chance for the rest of Europe, especially in these terrible times that we have ahead of us, that we could possibly dismantle this criminal network that they've put together. I can hope. You know, we don't know what the next 11 months are going to bring. Who would have thought 3-4 years ago we would have stood any chance at all of bringing the world's attention to this Zionist criminality and these Judeo-Nazis? Nobody would have thought it possible. And the fact is, we're doing that, and you know, again, the statistics are proving that we are making headway here. So we just got to keep pounding and hope that Providence blesses us in some way with a win here. When we can't beat these people, you know, these criminals have been kicked out of hundreds of countries. So those countries had to wake up. When they were kicking them out, the world will wake up. We will get these people out of our lives one way or another. I want to leave the listening audience with at least a hopeful sign here that we can get rid of them from our lives.
Yeah, well, Darrell, you know, it's exactly what we need. We have a huge opportunity. What I'm worried about is people will see all these headless Gazan children blown up by U.S. taxpayer, U.S. supplied weaponry and bombs and bullets and all sorts of stuff given to Israel free, you know, $30 billion in 2007 in free military. The Israelis are looking for 3,000 tons of more weaponry. They are, you know, for an apartment block with maybe 100, 200 people living in it, they are saying that one guy in the building had weapons or some sort of ammunition in the basement. They're taking out entire buildings. We're yeah. finding heads of young, beautiful children without their bodies. This is savagery.
They're driving over injured children with tanks that are still moving and with limbs missing, and they're still whimpering, and they're being driven over by tanks. Yeah.
Letting the UN in for 3 hours to feed 1.5 million people, and then killing the UN workers, drivers, killed two of them. You have all these sacks of crude oil that they put up on TV. They have them on every... Darrell, I have access to French TV, to Irish TV, to English TV, British TV, German TV, Italian TV, and on every channel, on all the news show, when they bring up this genocide holocaust of the Palestinians, you'll always have a pro-Israeli, you know, keeping it fair, and to repeat the same old nonsense. I'm sorry, if you look on Norwegian newspapers printed last week, the head of a beautiful Palestinian girl in the dirt, and you give me a particular reason why she had to die. It's savagery.
There is none, and Norway, to its credit, has come out squarely against these criminals, divested their nation's holdings in anything Israeli, and the fact of the matter is they've broken with the rest of Europe and said these people are criminals and should be arrested immediately and tried in some international court body. The fact is, we do have hope. There are people waking up to this. No, I'm telling you, I live in a place where most people don't have any knowledge about international events, and they are paying attention to this here out in my countryside. side. So when you said that the statistic of 53% are in favor of what Israel's doing, you knew darn well immediately that that was a lie.
Absolutely.
And the fact is I couldn't find anybody if I had a microscope that wants to follow these Israelis anywhere. In fact, they're the most hated, disgusting, vomitous human beings that have ever sickened our planet. And they are like a cancer, and they must be excised from the human family. They must be. And that is that Israel is a sickness that has polluted our world for my entire lifetime. And the simple fact is, Noel, they will continue to do that until the last days I live, unless we stop them. And everybody listening needs to really come to grips with that fact.
Listen, Darrell, I've been outraged for 2 weeks. It's kind of not dying down. I've been a strong supporter of the Palestinian people since my early adolescence. I could judge by the way the Catholics were brutalized by the British under the control of the Zionists in Northern Ireland. But like most
yep.
Irish people, I blame the British. So I grew up saying the Brits, the Prods, the Protestants, the Prods, the Brits. And when you actually look into it, it has the scenario hasn't changed in my 42 years. You have the power brokers in Whitehall and in London are Zionist Jews. They still control the purse strings. They're working there in the background. You don't see too much of them, but they're still there. And most Irish people need to wake up that they already tried to genocide us, and they got away. They got killed 5 to 6 million of us in the mid 19th century. And we're still trying to blame the British, but the British now are absolutely under full attack by the international Jewish bankers. Their money system is gone. We're nearly on 1-to-1 with the euro, with the British pound. Interest rates down to the lowest since 1694. Lowest. Darrell, that is an amazing statistic. The lowest interest rates in 300 years. And people say
the lowest interest rates in the history of the Bank of England,
Over 300 years. I mean, it's not like it's the lowest unemployment since 1972 or the worst car production since 1969. Since 1694, when Rothschild and his took over the Bank of England and basically took over the UK.
Well, I got to tell you, it's only going negative. It's only getting worse from here. And everyone that has been paying attention to the things I've shared with them and things you've been talking about with me know full well that this is only the beginning. We have a lot farther to drop. Everyone seems to think that, in the mainstream, seems to think we're in a bad recession. But what they really don't realize is the wheels have come off the cart here. There is absolutely no way we can put this back together again, Humpty Dumpty scenario. We're going to see Mad Max scenarios popping up around the globe. I don't think it'll be a unified Mad Max situation, but we're going to see problems erupting across America, probably a martial law situation in the not too far future. Europe falling into one of the worst depressions in its 2,000 year history, one for the record books, I believe, in loss of life and loss of value and loss of everything. Get ready for it. The best way to get ready for it is to arm yourself if you're legally able to. If you have the right to hold a weapon or a gun or a firearm, I would exercise that legal right and buy one and have it at hand so that I could protect myself and my family and also work together with other like-minded citizens of your country, because the crap and the fan have merged, and it's just a matter of time before that is going to be a necessary evil in your life.
Well, Darrell, the crap meeting the fan, I think we'll leave it with that, Darrell. I have some responsibilities and get a bite to eat here and feed my dogs and stuff. Been a pleasure having you on, Darrell. Darrell Bradford Smith, IamTheWitness.com. Darrell, I'll leave you the last words.
Well, you know, I'm telling everybody to get off their backside, post this audio file on every forum and every, go on to Craigslist. I think you won't get banned there anymore because people are interested in this Israeli criminality. Be judicious with your language if you place it on a website that is sensitive, but get it up there anyway. It might stay for a day or two or even stay longer. The fact of the matter is this has to be spread far and wide. There was a period when I was working at this stuff where we had armies of people going out posting this information. We need to reawaken that whole sentiment and get people back out there posting this information far and wide. It has to become a carpet of this truth on everybody's doorstep, and that's what we need to do, Noel.
Okay, Darrell, listen, it's been a pleasure having you on. Talk to you very soon.
Thanks, Noel.